Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here today as we gather for worship. It is a special day as it is Rally Day and we resume our Sunday school program today. And students have been registering with their parents in Judson Chapel and they'll be going out for classes in a little while. It's a special day as we continue to roll out our fall program. And it's good to have you here today. If you are visiting with us, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. And I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, directly behind the sanctuary, right after the service today. You will note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and the diaconate is scheduled to meet after church today. The church leaders will be meeting with Police Chief Mollis tomorrow evening here in the parlor. Our Bible studies will be on Tuesday, and property trustees are Wednesday. One thing that did not get printed in the bulletin but do want to call your attention to this coming Friday is our turn for feeding ministry. I'll be starting cooking early. We'll be serving dinner at 5:30. We will need cakes donated for the meal. We are back to our regular menu of shepherd's pie. And so that did not get listed, but do want to point that out. That is coming up this week as well. One other announcement that it was not printed in the bulletin was in last week's. The American Baptist Women's Ministries of Massachusetts is having their fall conference, as well as for AB Girls, on September 27th from 8:30 to 4 at the First Baptist Church of Framingham. And registrations for that program are due this week. If you'd like more information, you can speak with Marilyn Glover after the service today. Also, there is a sign-up sheet for greeters and coffee hour hosts. September, there's still need help on the last Sunday in September, and I'm sure there are vacancies in October if you'd like to sign up a little early. So I do want to remind you of that, and you can do that during coffee hour today. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 118. 118 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading responsively verses from two of the Apostle Paul's different letters, and let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
Joseph.
In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ.
In him we have redemption through his blood.
The forgiveness of sins in accordance with God's grace.
Thanks be to God for this.
We are here to celebrate and to worship Christ this day. Our opening hymn is Praise Him, Praise Him, number 117. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Jesus will guard his children in him.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather this morning to offer you our prayers and our praise. Prepare our hearts and minds to worship you so that we may be fully present to you, setting aside any cares or concerns we may have. Let our words, spoken and sung, be to your glory. We ask this in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there are children sitting farther back in the sanctuary who'd like to come forward for our moments together, I invite you to do so now. Good morning. Oh my, you sound tired this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that sounds much better. Now, that's right. Shanice, I know you can speak loud, and you did just that, because Shanice was at Vacation Bible School. And do you remember what the phrase was that we repeated every single day? That's right. You got an earful, didn't you? Try hearing that about 20 times for 5 days in a row. That's wonderful. Jesus loves us. That's right. And some of you I haven't seen for a few months because we haven't met over the summer, haven't had messages together. But it's good to have you today, and I'm going to want you to use your imaginations a little bit this morning, okay? I brought a prop, but it isn't quite the right one. I couldn't find what I wanted this morning. So we're going to imagine this is a little longer, okay? Yeah, it's a little longer. It's probably about this tall, okay? So just pretend it's got a longer stick on the end of it. And do you know what, if it's longer, what this could be? A what? A staff. What is that, Emily? That a shepherd uses, right? There are different points on it. There are different parts of it. The shaft could help the sheep. Now, you know what a shepherd is? A shepherd takes care of sheep. Okay, everybody knows what that is. Okay. And if the sheep start to wander a little bit, if you just stick this out, you can sort of guide them back into the flock a little bit. And if they get caught someplace, then the shepherd could use the crook, the curved part, to help to pull the sheep back. And if there was danger, perhaps some other animal was trying to attack, could use the end of this to poke at the animal that was in danger. All these things, you know, in this little piece of wood that a shepherd uses as the shepherd's responsible for taking care of his flock, his sheep. And the Bible talks about Jesus being a shepherd. In fact, Jesus said that I am the good shepherd, and that the sheep, his flock, know him when he speaks. And this morning, that's what we're going to be talking about later in the service. When you're in Sunday school, the adults that are staying in the service, are we going to be talking about the 23rd Psalm, which is often called the Shepherd's Psalm. And it talks about God being a shepherd and caring for us no matter where we are. And when Jesus talked about us being part of his flock, then we need to look to Jesus to be with us always, to look out for us, to care for us. And I want you to remember that no matter what happens this week, that Jesus as our shepherd is with us. And let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, and we thank you for stories in it that tell us about you and how you love us. And Lord, we thank you for the image, the stories of shepherds today, and that they love and care for their sheep just as you love us. Lord, remind us constantly that you are with us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go to your classes. You do come to this time in the service that we have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another and spend a few moments in prayer together. And we do want to continue to remember Lucille Berry, who is at home, and both Lana and Dorothy are here, and it's good that you're able to be here and the caregivers there. And Dorothy had a birthday yesterday, so it's a celebration that we celebrate with Dorothy. Spoke with Helen Fleet this week, and Helen saw the surgeon, and she is improving. The break in her leg is healing, not as rapidly as she was hoping, but she can now put more weight on the leg, but she cannot do stairs for another 2 months. So Helen has asked for us to continue to remember her in prayer. Very disappointed that she was hoping to be able to come home very soon, but it looks like it'll be at least a couple more months. So we want to keep Helen Fleet in prayer. Also, we want to continue to remember Jackie May, who was hospitalized for evaluations, and Amelia Lanton, who's been ill the last few weeks, and we want to keep her in prayer. And May Upperman is here today. May hasn't been here for, I guess, three Sundays, I think you missed, with back issues. But you told me this morning you were feeling better, and even was able to walk to church this morning. So glad that you're feeling better and able to be back with us. So we want to continue to remember you in prayer. Also, it is a special day today. We are remembering the memory of Christine Dusty McCurie. It's been 1 year since she passed away, and the McCurie and Canizano families are here today, and we are remembering Dusty in prayer today. Also, we want to remember the Edwards family. Retired Colonel Sheila Edwards' mother, Marie Edwards, passed away about 2 weeks ago. And so it's a very fresh loss. So we want to keep both the McCurie and Canizano families as well as the Edwards family in prayer today. Do you have any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family this morning? Septic shock. Ooh, okay. A friend of Beth's suffered from that and is recovering at home now. So hopefully a permanent recovery. And with two young children, so want to keep her in prayer. Yes, Richard.
Irene is ill.
Oh, Irene is ill.
Feeling well.
Okay.
Able to be out today.
Okay, so I want to keep Irene Hoffman in prayer. That who's not feeling well today, so I'll keep her in prayer as well. Anyone else have a prayer request? Yes. Anne Marie's doing better, and Joan has a bad cold. Joan or Steen has a bad cold, so. And Tyler's decided to try Sunday school again. And God does work in mysterious ways, and God's timing is not always our timing. But we just praise God for that, and I'm glad Tyler had a friend to bring with her today too. That's sometimes easier too. Anyone else have a prayer request? Peggy. Okay. Which son? John. Your son John's in Germany, and his birthday's Tuesday, so I want to keep him in prayer as well. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Holy God, it is good to be able to come to your house this day to worship you. Some of us may have traveled very short distances, while others may have journeyed quite long miles to be here today. Be part of this congregation, to spend these moments in prayer, to spend these moments in worshiping you. And Lord, for some of us, it may be the first time here, and others, we may have come here all of our lifetimes. Lord, no matter what our situation, we are grateful for the opportunity of being together today. And to have these few moments as part of our service to open our hearts and our minds to you, unburdening ourselves, but also opening ourselves and allowing your Spirit to work within us and move among us. Lord, we've lifted several up today who have health concerns, and we lift them up to you now and pray for healing in their lives according to your will for them. We've heard good news of some that are on recovery. We praise you for that. And others who are still awaiting the results of tests, waiting for diagnoses. and are awaiting plans for treatment or rehabilitation. And Lord, we just pray for your Spirit to be with them this day. We also pray, O God, for those who are in mourning this day, whether the death is a recent death or whether it's been a year or longer, that we still have an openness in our heart, a hole that has not been filled, that our loved one is missing. Lord, we remember especially today Christine Dusty McCurry and the love she had for her family. We thank you, Lord, for the McCurry and Catanzaro families that have gathered here today to remember her during this time of worship. We just pray that as the year has taken place, Lord, that people have moved on, but Dusty is still very fresh in their hearts and in their minds today. Lord, we pray for others who are sensing that loss of a loved one, and just pray for your Spirit of peace and comfort to be with all who mourn this day. Lord, we also turn our thoughts to the world, and we pray for the British volunteer who was murdered yesterday. The third in a row of violence, terrorism, Lord, that we don't know what to do about. Lord, we pray for wisdom for our world leaders as they try to combat this latest round of terrorism. Lord, we pray for those who may be involved in working towards a solution. Lord, we fear that there will be more violence, more bloodshed. Lord, we pray for peace. However that may be, Lord, we don't know that. But we pray that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and the peace that he promises and provides that only he can give, that that may come and be active in our world today. For wherever we look, we see negativity. We see anger. We see ways of getting back, of taking out revenge on people. Lord, help changes in the world start with us as individuals in a congregation, in a community, to turn the other cheek, no matter how difficult that may be, if that is what we are called to do. Lord, we pray for your wisdom and your guidance in all the troubles that we have in our lives. For you are the good shepherd, that you care for your sheep. And as we have come to you this day as part of your flock, we pray that you will hold us and lead us and care for us. And we ask this all now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have worshiped through song and prayers, and we have now an opportunity to worship through offering by presenting our tithes and our gifts to God, saying thank you for all the blessings that you have provided for us, a way of supporting the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for the cross, the reason that we're here today, because of Christ's death and resurrection, paying the price for our sins. Lord, that's news that's so good that we can't help but share it with others. We pray that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we join in the ministry and mission of this congregation and share the good news of Jesus Christ and his salvation with others. We ask that you would bless us and bless these. In his name, amen. You may be seated. Dorothy Foxon is our lay leader today and will be reading the scripture.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Dottie. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have heard and read these very familiar words for many of us, Lord, it may take us back to a time when we heard or read these words before. It brings us comfort. It might bring us a little pain in the memories. But Lord, we pray this day that the words of this psalm may be unpacked and in a fresh way for us, that we may gain a new understanding and appreciation for them that will help us in our daily living today. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Death Valley in California is the lowest, driest, and hottest desert in the United States. And since records have been kept, the hottest temperature in this country, 134 degrees, occurred there. And it's common to have day after day of 120 degrees in the summer. The official brochure of Death Valley National Park provides the following warning. Summer starts early in Death Valley. By May, the valley is too hot for most visitors. Lodging and camping are available, but only the most hardy will want to camp in the low elevations in the summer. Most summer visitors tour by car to the main points of interest along the paved roads, but do little else due to the extreme heat. Yet, that dangerously high heat is exactly the reason that many car makers send their prototype models to Death Valley in the heat of summer. They want to see how the vehicles perform under the intense conditions in the valley named Death. Engineers put the vehicles through a series of grueling tests, such as frequent starting and stopping, prolonged idling, towing 7,000-pound loads up and down the steep mountain roads surrounding the valley, leaving the vehicles in direct sun with the windows rolled up, and then timing how long it takes for the air conditioner to cool the interior. An additional test designed to push the engines, transmissions, and other components to the limits. And although the car companies know that most of their vehicles will spend little, if any, time in Death Valley-like conditions, they deliberately overtax them to help ensure their customers won't have problems in normal situations. Knowing that our type of vehicle has been put through the paces in the extreme conditions can be reassuring when we find ourselves driving in rough weather. And this thought can lead us into today's scripture, which also talks about moving through a valley named Death. Psalm 23, as Dottie said, is probably the best known passage from the Bible, and maybe best most loved as well. Many people who don't read the Bible can quote at least a line or two from this familiar psalm, if only because they've heard it often at funerals. It's often one of the most requested scripture texts I have when preparing for a funeral. It's appropriate to be used there in that setting, and it's a comforting passage to mourners. But if we think of it only being used as a funeral text, we can miss the fact that this psalm is mostly about living, not about dying. In the ancient world, as in ours, shepherds were herders and tenders of sheep. But back then, the term shepherd was also a metaphor for the role that kings were supposed to play. They were to tend their subjects, providing for them and protecting them. But unfortunately, many of the kings were lousy shepherds of their people. They were either inept or more concerned with their own importance. Thus, for someone in that culture to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," was similar to saying, "The Lord is my king." And the point was that God does what a king shepherd is supposed to do. The person proclaiming this psalm was declaring an intention to live under God's rule. And the rest of the psalm is a description of the good things that come to that person as a subject to this king. Thus, because the Lord is a good shepherd, and we are members of his flock, we shall not be in want. Now, if you were here last week, it sort of follows up from our message last Sunday as well, but I'm not going back there. We're focusing on Psalm 23 today. We will have what we need if we follow this shepherd. The references to lying down in green pastures, being led beside still waters, and fearing no evil in the valley of the shadow of death are poetic ways of saying that the shepherd king provides what we need to stay alive. Although many of us are accustomed to hearing verse 4 in the King James Version, which is the way we heard it this morning, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," the underlying Hebrew can also mean simply "place of deep darkness." Thus, some newer translations state the verse this way: "Even though I walk through the darkest valley." In that reading, this psalm becomes a statement of God's shepherding us in the difficult, troubled, and hard stretches we go through in life itself. The psalm continues in that mode, talking about life, and it concludes, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's because the Lord is our shepherd. But I want us to go back to that valley for a moment. The psalmist says, the reason for not being overcome by fear while in the dark valley is that God, the shepherd, is with him. The psalmist takes comfort that the shepherd has a rod and staff at the ready to protect him. But another fear-reducing factor was likely that the shepherd had already been through that valley before. Only a reckless shepherd would take his flock into a dark valley that he'd never been in before. The only reason for leading sheep into or through a valley where there might be risks to the sheep is because the shepherd knows there's something the flock needs, food or water or shelter, that's in that valley or at the end of it, and that the shepherd can handle whatever threats to the sheep might occur in there. We could say the shepherd has first taken a test drive in the valley and knows that the rod and staff will be sufficient to handle the threats therein. Thus, Psalm 23 becomes a statement of confidence in God. Whether our dark valleys are times of trouble or the actual passing through death itself, we believe that God is not only with us, but is more than equal to whatever threats there are to our spiritual well-being that may lurk within that darkness. But of course, that is not the kind of thing that we can prove ahead of time. Issues about faith cannot be easily proved as skeptics would like. The book of Hebrews describes faith this way. To have faith is to be sure of things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. That's why Psalm 23 is a song of confidence, not a treatise on proof. In writing to the church at Rome, the Apostle Paul talks about confidence in God, using Abraham as a model. Paul tells of God's promises to Abraham that a nation would descend from him, and the story of how Abraham, despite being old and despite being married to a childless woman well past childbearing years, believed God. Paul writes it this way: Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good and as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Now, Paul actually overstates the case a bit. For if we read the story out of Genesis, we learn that Abraham, being troubled by some doubts about the years passed and no child was given to him, that he had some doubts and he wasn't as faithful all through that. But he never gave up on that promise. Paul is essentially correct, for despite Abraham's doubts, he kept coming back to God's promise. And as we know, eventually a son named Isaac was born to the couple, and God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled through him and his descendants. And isn't that the way faith functions for us as well? We have nothing resembling proof that God will be with us in the dark places of life. But we do have the testimony of Scripture and the testimony of other believers that God has been there before us and knows the way through our challenges. The depth of the darkness sometimes shakes our confidence. But the testimony of people, of faith, and of Scripture is that God does not leave us alone in our dark valleys. Psalm 23, and indeed the entire book of Psalms, is about that confidence. For these songs, that's what Psalms are, there's the songs in the Bible, the hymn book of Scripture. These Psalms in general recount all sorts of human troubles, despair, and fears. But like a compass needle that keeps swinging back to north, they keep coming back to the confidence that God is with us in the darkness. So when Psalm 23 talks about God's rod and staff being of comfort in the frightening valleys that we go through, it's stating the main point of all of the Psalms. One of the other Psalms, the 139th Psalm, can even be read as evidence that God has test-driven the dark valleys ahead of us. The author of that psalm writes these words as a prayer to God. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. That's testimony from someone who's been in a dark valley. And that person invites us to believe that our experience in the valley will be similar if we trust God. To trust God does not mean that we have to muster up belief or desperately try to shore up shaky hope. It does mean, though, that we rely on more than just what our fears tell us. Confidence in God does not change the facts about the world, but it does change the conclusions we draw about those facts. For example, two people can look at the same facts and arrive at opposite conclusions. One person might look at the dark valleys in life and conclude, there is no God. If there were, he'd have never let us go through such troubles. Another can look at those dark valleys and say, it's so comforting that God has gone through them first so that we can trust him to shepherd us while we're in them. The same facts, but different conclusions and different interpretations. There are plenty of witnesses to the vehicular tests, road tests that take place in Death Valley. A horde of freelance photographers capture images of those vehicles with cameras. But when it comes to our journeys through life's dark valleys, we have no photo of God in the valley. We have only the testimony of others who have been there and our interpretation of what they tell us. Psalm 23 is one such testimony when we read these words, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That allows us to trust that God is never overcome by the darkness. It gives us the confidence that when we're in a dark valley, we will find God there with us. And God will help us. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving Lord, we journey through the deepest and darkest valleys of our lives. In times of sickness, job loss, broken marriages, children who have lost their way, and yes, even death. We know these valleys are a part of life, but we also know that the valley is not the destination. We turn to you, who has faithfully led your followers through this valley countless times before. For you, O Lord, are our shepherd. We shall not want. You, O Lord, lead us beside the still waters. You lead us in the paths of righteousness. We will fear no evil. We will fear nothing in this valley of darkness, for you, O Lord, are our shepherd. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, number 578. Christ Jesus is our shepherd, and in his presence all our deepest needs are met, and God's joy is restored into our lives. Into our hearts, God pours mercy that overflows, so therefore go in peace. Go in peace knowing that God's Spirit goes with us in all of our days, and that we go knowing that we dwell always in the presence of God. Amen.